Since I, as a successive judge, cannot hear a motion for the trial in this case, do I then have the power to hear and rule on a motion to strike a petition that purports to be, and the defendant insists, is a motion for a new trial? The defendant says that I do not. I am of the opinion that I do have that power, just as I would have the power to hear a petition for writ of habeas corpus or a petition filed under the Post-Conviction Act in this case, provided the defendant did not have a right to file a motion for new trial, or if the defendant's motion for new trial had already been disposed of by Judge Battle by a defendant's waiver of such right. It is well established in this state that a motion for new trial is nothing but a pleading and cannot be looked to as establishing facts that it alleges, Mons v. State, 214, Tennessee 171. A plea may be stricken on motion on the ground that the pleading is not authorized by the procedure of the forum, or that the issue to be raised has already been determined conclusively of record. Wharton's Criminal Procedure, Section 1907, page 775. This is a unique case because to test PCA Section 17-117, it appears that the defendant would have to file what he would allege to be a motion for new trial. If this court did not act upon such a motion, possibly a writ of mandamus could issue, or a petition for writ of habeas corpus, or a petition under the Post-Conviction Act could be filed and heard, citing the statute. I feel, however, that the proper procedure is for me to act upon the motion to strike the petition that is purports to be a motion for new trial. And if the motion to strike is granted, then a petition for writ of habeas corpus or a petition under the Post-Conviction Act could be filed. The motions and petitions filed so far by the defendant do not contain the necessary elements required by statute to allow the court to act upon them as such, especially since the defendant has made it clear that they ought to be treated as a motion for new trial. When I speak of as such, I mean as a petition for writ habeas corpus or a petition under the Post-Conviction Act. Two main questions present themselves to be decided today. The first question is whether the defendant, Ray, had a right to a motion for a new trial in a case disposed of on a guilty plea based upon an agreed-upon settlement and submission. I have been unable to find that this precise question has been decided before in Tennessee. The second question is twofold. One, can a defendant expressly waive his right to a motion for new trial in Tennessee? Two, if he can, did the defendant effectively waive that right in this case? If the defendant did not have a right to a motion for new trial in his case because it was disposed of on an effective guilty plea based upon an agreed-upon settlement and submission, or if he could expressly waive his right to a motion for new trial and in fact did effectively waive that right, then in either event, TCA 17-117 could not apply, since the motion for new trial would have already been disposed of. Consequently, the state's motion to strike would have to be granted. I will now discuss the first question and dispose of it. Tennessee Code Annotated Section 40-3401 gives either party to a criminal proceeding, except the state, upon a judgment of acquittal, the right to pray and appeal in the nature of a writ of error, as in civil cases. On page 901 of Carruthers' History of a Lawsuit, 8th edition, under the section heading of Motions for New Trial and in the Rest of Judgment, is found the following statement. If the defendant is acquitted, the state cannot obtain a new trial. But if he is convicted, he is entitled to a new trial upon all the grounds heretofore stated as sufficient in a civil suit. A motion for a new trial is not a prosecution by the state, but a proceeding in error brought by the accused to reverse a judgment rendered against him by the trial court. The purposes of a motion for a new trial are stated in Adams v. Patterson, 201 Tennessee 655 as follows. Motions for a new trial serve two purposes, to wit. A, to suspend the judgment so that the trial judge may have time to correct his errors by the grant of a new trial. And B, to set out the error as a ground and prerequisite to an appellate review where such error depends upon a bill of acceptance. Memphis Fleet Railway Company versus Johnson, 114 Tennessee, 632, 88 Southwest and 169. In Tennessee, there are various proceedings for the correction of errors. They are enumerated in Tennessee Code Annotated Section 27-101. TCA 27-101 says, methods of correcting error. Errors not embraced by the provisions of this code in regard to amendments may be corrected in one or more of the following modes. One, by writ of error quorum nobis. Two, by rehearing, review, or new trial. Three, by certiorari. Four, by appeal. Five, by appeal in the nature of a writ of error. Six, by writ of error. The next section of the code provides that certain actions release errors. TCA 27-102 reads, release of error by confession or injunction. A judgment by confession or the suing out of an injunction against a defendant at law is a release of errors. It has been held that a judgment properly entered on a guilty plea is in effect a judgment by confession. A judgment in a criminal case which has been properly entered on a plea of guilty is in effect a judgment by confession and ordinarily cannot be reviewed by appeal or error proceeding. 4 a.m. 2nd, appeal and error, paragraph 271. And in a criminal case, a party cannot, as a general rule, have a judgment properly entered on a plea of guilty reviewed by appeal or error proceedings, since such judgment is, in effect, a judgment by confession. Horton's Criminal Procedure, Volume 5, Section 2247, page 498. Carruthers' History of a Lawsuit, 8th edition, page 688, says, a judgment by confession cannot be appealed from, either in a civil or criminal case. Our Supreme Court said in the case of McIntyre v. State, 207 Tennessee 102, now we think it is axiomatic that the defendant, having confessed judgment for the fine and cost, had no right of appeal, nor did the court have the power to grant such an appeal, because no one can appeal either in a criminal or civil case from a verdict on a plea of guilty or a judgment based upon confession of liability. Since it appears that the court in McIntyre's case has recognized in Tennessee that a defendant in a criminal case cannot appeal from a verdict on a plea of guilty, it must next be determined whether a defendant in a criminal case has a right to a motion for new trial from a verdict on a plea of guilty. In Bradford v. State, 184 Tennessee, 694, the court said, an appeal from a conviction in the lower court is analogous to a motion for a new trial in the lower court. To set aside the verdict of the jury, in that in both situations the proceedings are commenced and prosecuted by the defendant in an effort to show cause why his conviction should not be set aside and a new trial granted. In 24 Corpus Juris Secundum, Criminal Law, Section 1418, page 3, is found the following paragraph. A new trial can be granted only after a trial, and hence a motion, therefore, is properly overruled where there has been no trial, as where the original proceedings consisted merely of an arraignment and a plea of guilty. A motion for new trial after a plea of guilty and trial by court to determine question of mercy has been held properly overruled. The Supreme Court of Tennessee in several cases has recognized that there is a difference between a trial and a plea of guilty. Defendant did not go to trial, but chose instead to enter a plea of guilty. State X. Rel. Hall versus Meadows, 389 Southwestern 2nd, 256. Don't have the Tennessee citation. State X. Rel. Versus Wood versus Johnson, 393 Southwestern 2nd, 135. I don't know that it's come out in the Tennessee reports yet in that case. Another quotation. It must be remembered also that this man entered a plea of guilty to the charge and received a reduced sentence. There was nothing from which he could logically appeal. In quotation, State X. Rel. Reed versus here, 403 Southwestern 2nd, 310. I don't have the Tennessee citation. As cited above in Tennessee Code Annotated 27-101, motions for new trial and appeals are modes of correcting errors. Since a judgment properly entered on a guilty plea is, in effect, a judgment by confession, and a judgment by confession is a release of errors, TCA 7102, the need for a motion for a new trial is not present. Therefore, for the reasons cited above in this opinion, I find as a matter of law that a defendant in a criminal case cannot have a judgment properly entered on a plea of guilty reviewed by a motion for a new trial. The next question to be decided is, can a defendant expressly waive his rights to a motion for a new trial in a criminal case in Tennessee? In deciding this question, it is necessary to discuss several principles concerning appeals. In Tennessee, a defendant in a criminal case has a constitutional and statutory right to have his case reviewed in the appellate courts, and relief would be awarded if he was deprived of such right without fault of his own. Dennis versus State Supra, State XL Terry versus John L. Supra, Tennessee Central Railway Company versus Tennis Supra. Since the defendant does have this right, can he waive it? The Supreme Court of Tennessee has held that he can. In the case of State of Tennessee, XL Doyle versus Henderson, 425 Southwestern 2nd, 593, 1968 opinion, I don't have the Tennessee citation. On page 596, the court held, it seems to us whether or not a defendant, and particularly this petitioner, has been deprived of his constitutional right to appellate review depends upon the facts and circumstances of his case. The legal principles as announced in each of the cases cited above merely furnish guidelines in the application of this protected right. As said above, no court that we can find has held that a defendant must appeal his case or that a waiver will not be recognized. And later on the same page, the court says, we think, after careful consideration, that under a factual situation as here presented, this amounts to an oral waiver of appeal, and none of the constitutional rights of this petitioner has been violated by not granting him a motion, a new trial, from which he could perfect an appeal. Further evidence that he may waive this right is shown in the case of State v. Simmons, 199 Tennessee, 479, 1956 opinion, in which Chief Justice Neal, in his concurrent opinion, quotes from perhaps the leading case on this subject in Tennessee, State XRL Lee v. Brown, 166 Tennessee, 669, 692, 693, certiorari denied, 54 Supreme Court Reporter, 717, 292 United States Supreme Court Report, 638, 78 Lawyers Edition, 1491, as follows. On page 491. A party may waive any provision of a contract, statute, or constitution intended for his benefit. On page 492. So it was said in a leading case in Lee Cooper, 93, New York, 507, 512. It is very well settled that a party may waive a statutory and even a constitutional provision made for his benefit, and that having once done so, he cannot afterwards ask for its protection. This quoted principle is set out in Wallace v. State, 193, Tennessee, on page 186, and in State X. Rel. Barnes v. Henderson, 423, Southwestern 2nd, 497, 1968 opinion. I don't have the Tennessee citation on. In State XRL Barnes v. Henderson, Supra, the court said, as a general rule, subject to certain exceptions, any constitutional or statutory right may be waived if such waiver is not against public policy, and where a constitutional right afforded the accused is treated as waivable, it may be waived by express consent, by failure to assert it in apt time, or by conduct inconsistent with a purpose to insist upon it. It appears then that not only can the right of appeal be waived, but any other statutory or constitutional provision made for his benefit may likewise be waived. And that once the right or provision has been waived, the defendant cannot afterward ask for its protection. This being true, it must then follow that a motion for a new trial likewise can be waived. For the proof that the right to a motion for new trial can be waived is shown by the following quotations and authorities. In Hall v. State, 110 Tennessee, 365, the court said, and I quote, in his words on general practice, Judge Elliott, Volume 2, Section 995, says, the right to move for a new trial may be waived by agreement in advance or by inconsistent acts, or by neglecting to take the proper steps.